Let's start by singing hymn number four. Number four. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Number four. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free.
Verse, Matthew Gospel, chapter 3. And verse 7, the latter part of the verse, and it says this, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. You know what that word flee means? It means hurry up. Hurry up. There is an urgency to the message of the gospel. Why? Because the day of grace is fast coming to a close. The gospel has gone out for 2,000 years through this world, and many, many, many souls have been saved. And I can say that the Lord Jesus has saved my precious soul. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging. How would you like that? You can have it. It's yours. A love that the Lord Jesus loves guilty sinners such as you and I. He loved me. Even though I was dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in the world. He loved me. And he saved my precious soul. And that's what I can relate to you tonight. But you know, the day of grace is fast coming to a close. And so we read this verse here in Matthew 3:7, and it says, flee from the wrath to come, because there is coming judgment upon this world. Coming judgment. If the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, and you're not saved, you'd be left behind for the wrath of a holy, sin-hating God. That would be your portion. But you know, the Lord Jesus doesn't want that of you. He doesn't. No. He wants to save you. And I think of how amazing it is that God has had this gospel go forth for 2,000 years, God beseeching, our hymn, our first hymn, God beseeching, man refusing. And oh, how many there are that refuse this wonderful grace of God from a God of love. But it says, flee. Hurry up. Hurry up. The time is short. Very, very short. Flee from the wrath to come. Now I want you to go with me, because I've been looking through this portion. I've spoken on it before. Let me tell you a little bit about this portion. Maybe you, some of you here, older ones, might have known Bob Brimlow. There's a smile on his face, yeah. He's a lovely brother. My children and his children grew up together, and we had a lot of wonderful moments together. Well, about 40 years ago, I spoke on this portion that I'm going to speak on tonight. And this portion that I'm going to speak on tonight is in Deuteronomy chapter 19. So let's turn to it. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. Notice that. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, unto three parts, that the slayer may flee hither. And this is the case of the slayer, which shall flee hither, that he may live. Whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he flee to one of these cities and live. Lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, overtaking him because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, thou shalt keep all these commandments and do them which I commanded thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways. And thou shalt add three more cities for thee besides these three, that innocent blood be not shed in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. Well, about 40 years ago, I preached on this very passage, and it was probably one of the first times I spoke in front of a large audience. And Bob Brimlow was sitting in the audience, and He's thinking to himself as I'm going along and preaching. He says, "Isn't he going to tell us that the city of refuge is Christ? Isn't he going to tell everybody that the city of refuge is Christ?" And so it went on in the gospel meeting. And finally, about halfway through the gospel meeting, I mentioned this, that the city of refuge is Christ. Bob Brimmel says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And that's the point I want to get through to you tonight, that the city of refuge that we've read here is Christ. Can't be anything else. It's wonderful. And so we've read this verse in Matthew. It says, "Flee from the wrath to come." But flee to who? Flee to who? Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of coming wrath that is coming upon this world. And God doesn't want to send a man to hell. That's the last thing he wants to do. And he has provided salvation and every way of escape whereby man could come to him. Man is not going to have any excuse. God is giving man every opportunity to be saved. And I've seen this in these last few years. An amazing way in which God has given a person another chance to be saved. And so you come in here into this room tonight. I don't know everybody in this room. You come here into this room and I don't know your heart. I don't know whether you're saved or not. He's given you one more chance to be saved tonight. One more chance. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful God we have. You know, I kept them waiting for many years. Listen, don't keep him waiting. Don't keep him waiting. You know his arms are outstretched to you tonight. He's saying to you, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love that verse. You know, there's many that tonight are laboring under the load of sin. And, you know, they find, well, maybe I'll try this way and that way to get saved, or this way and that way to get to heaven. No, you can't do it. Everything has been done on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus could say it is finished. Everything has been done to accomplish your salvation. And all you have to do is come as a guilty, hell-deserving, lost sinner. That's it. That's it. As a guilty, hell-deserving, lost sinner. And you know if he'll receive you? It says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And that's what we've been singing in our hymn. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. And I'm proud to be able, I'm happy to be able to say that he is a Savior for me. Wonderful to be a child of God. Wonderful to be a child of God. And so, with this thought in mind, as we kick up this, another thing I was thinking of when I was going through this. Do you know that this same passage is recorded 5 times in the Word of God? Now, why did God record the cities of refuge 5 times in the Word of God? Once in Exodus, once in Numbers, twice in Deuteronomy, and once in Joshua. 5 times! You know, it just seems to me the heart of God of how, like I say, he's given man every possible chance to come to him. You know, coming here this afternoon, we had a problem. How many of us got a GPS? There you go. Okay. And we got lost. We took the wrong turn. You know, somebody in the back seat says, why doesn't that girl on the GPS say, "You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way." And you know, there are many that are doing that very thing. They're going the wrong way. You know, the Lord Jesus could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way for this world. And, you know, there are many, people in this world would say, will you follow me and I'll get you there? No. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. There's only one Savior for this world. Only one Savior. And so then, in this portion we were reading, I like it this way. God made this account in the Old Testament, and he had something in mind for the slayer of a man, the innocent slayer of a man. But you know something? He also had something more. And that's what the wonderful picture that we get in this precious portion, the city is a refuge. He was thinking of a coming day when the gospel would go out. And the gospel going out. Think of it tonight, that once more the gospel is going out in this room. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he wants you to be saved tonight. And so, then it says in verse 3, thou shalt prepare thee a way. I love that. You know, that's just beautiful. Thou shalt prepare thee a way. And what is he saying here? I'm giving you every opportunity. You know, I often think of this. We're going down the highway. We're driving down the highway and with a car. And all of a sudden there's a sign that says detour. Or there's a sign that goes this way. You know, like that. And you know, sometimes a person's going the wrong way, going his own way of salvation, and sometimes God has to bring a roadblock in front of him so that he goes the right way. The right way. And I think of that so many times. He brings a roadblock. And he brought a roadblock into my life because I was going the wrong way. Now I'm going to ask you tonight, everyone here in this audience, which way are you going? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'll repeat that again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I give out many tracts downtown Atlanta, downtown Vancouver. Downtown Atlanta, they have a favorite expression. I'm okay. And they pass me by, they don't take a tract. I'm okay. What does that mean? Does that mean that they're okay, they're on their way to heaven? I doubt not. It means that they just don't want to bother about it. And there are many like that. Don't bother about that with me. Don't bother me tonight. Are you saying that tonight to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't bother about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of it. Dear friend, to save your precious soul, you know what he did? You know what he did for you? He went to Calvary's cross and suffered the untold agonies of Calvary's cross. Yes, he did. Why did he do that? Because he loved you. He loved you and wanted to save your precious soul. And to think it, that not only that, he wanted to take you to his wonderful home in heaven that he has prepared for you. And it says in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to that wonderful home by the grace of God and by the word of God that tells me so. How about you? How about you? Or are you going your own way? Is God going to have to bring a roadblock, a detour in your life? It was clearly marked, and I've read the account of this in some of the ministry that I've read, and I believe that there were signs that pointed refuge, and an arrow pointing refuge, and I'm doing it again. The way is clearly marked. There's a sign that says, refuge. Go this way. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There it is. Refuge. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, there which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And this is the case of the slayer which fleeth hither that he may live, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past. Whom he hated not in time past. They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. That's what the Lord Jesus could say in Calvary's cross. And to think that the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was an account of my sins that he was there being the sin bearer for me. Because he loved me. Can you say that tonight, dear friend, tonight? He wants to save you. Dear friend, tonight, I'm going to tell you this. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll go into a lost eternity forever. Now, this is what happened. Here's this man. He goes out with his buddy, and they're going out into the woods. They're out in the woods, and he has an axe. And he comes to this tree, and he starts chopping down this tree. I know what that's all about. I've done it lots of times. And he's got this axe, and he goes against the tree, a couple of whaps. And maybe the third or fourth rap, he goes with all his force, and the axe head flips off, broke right off. And it goes like this, like that, through the air, and lands on his buddy's head. And his buddy falls over down there dead. He picks him up, he says, up, and he's devastated. My friend, he's lying on the ground, he's dead. He killed him. What am I gonna do? He's dead. What am I going to do? Flee to the city of refuge. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this portion is all about. What was it? There was the wood of the axe, and there was the metal of the axe head. Two things that were used in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Two things. You say, wait a minute. I wasn't there. But wait a minute. Have you taken sides with the Lord Jesus Christ against yourself? Have you come as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God? That's it. The wood and the metal. Think of it. They nailed him to a cross. The wood. The nails were put in his hands and in his feet. The Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. A very solemn thing to think of it, though, that God, because of what man did to his Son, he could have had 12 legions of angels at his disposal. And I believe that man would be exterminated because of what they did, the insult that they gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very solemn. But dear friend, tonight, what have you done about him? What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? The verse that I love to preach at every gospel meeting is this. It's in Matthew 27, and it says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? So what are you going to do about him? First of all, I'm going to say, are you going to accept him as Lord and Savior of your life? I did many long years ago, and I can say Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. And can you say that tonight? He'll receive you if you'll come to him. And then this man, he's lying, his buddy is lying down here. And then he realizes, wait a minute. This man's dead. There's no witness. No witness. Bill, his friend, will think that I killed him. And he would be a murderer. There's only one thing this man can do, and yet he has to flee to the city of refuge. And that is exactly what you have to do tonight, is flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does he do? He gets going, and he starts on the road, and it's marked. There's the refuge. There's an arrow. And so he follows that. But wait a minute. There's a pursuer on his tail. He turns around and he looks. There's a he's coming after me, his friend. Friend of this guy, he's coming after me. And he's pursuing me. What am I going to do? Huh? Again. Flee! Hurry up! And so I say tonight, hurry up and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is short. The day of grace is closing fast. Some guess will be the last. Who knows that this might be the last gospel meeting, the last opportunity that you'll hear the news of salvation. And so this that urgency to the gospel message tonight. And so we say again, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this man is doing. He's fleeing to the city of refuge. What does he do? He gets right up to the city of refuge and he opens the door, the gate of the city, and he goes in and he's safe. Safe. Isn't that beautiful? He's safe. The avenger of blood. Now who's that? Who is that a type of? The God of this world, Satan. You know, he's present too. And you can be sitting in your seat, like I was many years ago, under lots of gospel meetings, and the pursuer of my soul could say, not tonight, not tonight, not tonight, not tonight. Anybody ever remember, anybody ever remember Stanley McDowell? You know him? A gospel preacher like, he would stand up here to minister the precious word of God and the gospel, and the tears would be just streaming down his face when he was talking about the love of Christ to lost sinners. And I'd be sitting in the audience if the love of Christ and the work of Christ and Calvary's cross doesn't break down your heart tonight to come to Him, nothing will. God does not want to send you to hell. But if you reject the gospel message, God will send you to hell. It's very solemn. And so we say to you tonight, flee from the wrath to come. It says that He hated him not in the time past, the end of verse 6. You know it says in Psalm 69, they that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. It was hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ that man put Him up there on the cross. Has man's heart changed in 2,000 years? No, it's still the same. You give out a gospel tract and see what happens. I see it all the time. Ah, that. Get away from me. Man's heart is not changed. They that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs in my head. Do you know, dear one, tonight, that the Lord Jesus never did one thing wrong? Not one. The sinless humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without sin. Couldn't even think of sin. It's often been said, you know, he could say, excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. He was without sin. A perfect, spotless man that walked through this world 2,000 years ago. And yet the heart of man put him up on the cross. How about you, friend, tonight? Do you know this wonderful Savior? He wants to save you tonight. And He's offering you salvation. And He wants you tonight to flee to the city of refuge, which is Christ. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of death. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have by wicked hands crucified and slain. It was the wicked hands of man that put the Lord Jesus up in the cross. And it be the wicked hands of you, dear friend, tonight, that reject the gospel of the grace of God. Wicked. But yet, still, in His long-suffering mercy, He's lingering. In your life, He wants to be led into your life. Will you receive Him? Will you receive this wonderful person? when the Lord Jesus was up in the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, think of it, dear friend, tonight. Can't you just picture the Lord Jesus Christ up in that cross, crying out, my Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, in his wicked heart, could put that blessed one, God's beloved Son, up in that cross. And with arms outstretched and nails in his hands, he could say to those around him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think of that verse, it's in Matthew also, it says, and sitting down, they watched him there. Think of that. Oh, the hatred of man's heart to just sit down there and watch the Lord Jesus suffer on Calvary's cross, the most untold agonies of Calvary's cross. That man's wicked heart, man's sinful heart, put him up there. And again, you'll probably say to me, I wasn't there. But yes, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you taken sides with the Lord Jesus Christ against yourself? Have you received him? That's the question tonight. Have you flown to the city of refuge? Has God put a roadblock in your life? Think back. Think back in the last little while. Maybe you've been walking down the street and somebody offered you a gospel tract. God is putting a little roadblock. He wants you to go this way, just like those signs. Or maybe you had a little car accident. Another roadblock. This way, this way, this way, he's saying. He doesn't want you to perish in your sins. He's providing this for you. I think of it. What a wonderful God. There was a man, and this is very solemn, and I want you to listen to this. I'm not going to read the scripture, because there's an example in the Word of God about the city of your refuge, and about a man that was fleeing to the city of refuge. You go to the second Samuel chapter 3, there's a man there by the name of Abner. And Abner, you know, in his life, he was given every opportunity. He was offered the command of David's army. And David made a great feast for him. And you know, that's exactly what God is doing for you tonight. We in North America, we have a great feast. We don't want anything. And yet, man is not thankful for what the bountiful were. All right, an example is Thanksgiving weekend. How many have thanked the God of heaven for that roast turkey that they had and all the benefits of the of a wonderful dinner, but never thinking about a wonderful God. And so, there's Abner. He's fleeing to the city of refuge, Hebron. And there's a pursuer on his tail, and that is Joab. Joab is after him because Abner had killed his brother. And he comes up to the city of refuge, which is Hebron. And he's just about, I think of this, many souls are like this. They're coming right up to the city of refuge. They're coming right up to Christ. I'll accept Christ tonight. And they come, and like Abner, he comes and probably he reaches out for the door latch of the city of refuge to enter in. And Job comes up behind him and he says, just a minute, Abner, I want to talk to you. He says, just a minute, I want to talk to you. And you know, he died right there. He died right there. Job came up to him and he says, he put a spear into him and right under the fifth rib in his heart, he was gone. Right available to him, salvation was available to Abner. He could have been safe, and all he had to do was just take one more step, and he would have been safe. And dear friend, tonight, don't toy with the grace of God. Don't toy with the grace of God. And that's why I'm saying to you tonight, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come tonight. Before it's forever too late, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Oh, he wants you to come tonight, and so I say again, he's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you heavy laden with sin? The Lord Jesus can take it all. He can take all those sins. He can give you a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. To know that that great question of my soul salvation is settled once and for all. I'm safe. I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful God. What a wonderful provision. Oh, how we can thank the Lord Jesus for what he has done for us in Calvary's cross. And that's what I want to ask you tonight. Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus? Maybe there's a young one here tonight. Have you ever come to him and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on Calvary's cross for me? That's what he wants to hear from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on Calvary's cross for such a rebel sinner such as we. That's what he wants to hear from you. Will you respond to the Lord Jesus? Will you come to that city of refuge and you will be safe? Safe in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But oh, what a solemn thing it was for Abner. He was just about there. There won't be any just about Christians in heaven. Another one. And he died there. Just think of that. What a solemn thing. And I say to you tonight, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself if you reject the sovereign grace of God. If you reject the gospel message that has been given you tonight. Decide for Christ tonight. Don't put it off one more day, one more hour. Come tonight. You'll take all those sins that you've committed in your life and wash them all away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. All my sins are gone. Washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all for me. You know, friend, you can't do anything to merit your salvation. Not one thing. Not one thing. All the good things that you've done in your life, they won't work. It's all been done for you. Did it all. Did it all. Those are the cities of refuge. Six cities of refuge. There's one more. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, the last city of refuge. I like to include this. I think I can. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. You know, God is offering you salvation, and you can be saved tonight. God cannot lie. His word is eternal. This precious word of God, you can live by it. Live by this precious word of God. God cannot lie. And you can lay hold upon that wonderful hope set before you. The Lord Jesus is coming. That's my hope. That's my hope, to be with the Lord Jesus in that coming seat of glory. I know He's coming. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. He's coming. He's coming. Maybe tonight. So, I say this again. The Lord Jesus was to come tonight. Where would you be? Where would you be? Would you be still in your sins, facing a lost eternity? Or have you, dear friend, tonight, fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before you? Come tonight, before it's forever too late. I got one last thing to say tonight, and that is this. I said that everything about the cities of refuge was Christ, and this proves it. These are the six cities, and each of these six cities have a beautiful, look, I'm fighting for a word, a beautiful type of the Lord. Okay? Kaddish, Hebrews 7:26. The Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Shechem, shoulders. He layeth us on His shoulders, rejoicing. The Good Shepherd carries us on His shoulders, Luke 15:5. Hebron, fellowship. That we've been brought into a fellowship with God. Wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to have this fellowship tonight? This is one of the most beautiful benefits of being a child of God. Lovely. Beautiful. Bezer. Psalm 18:2. He is my fortress, my exceeding high tower. Can you think of anything safer than that? My fortress, my exceeding high tower. Ramah. He is high. He is the highest position in glory. Hebrews 1 and 3. Golan, joy. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11. Everything about the city of refuge, again, I say this to you tonight, is Christ. It's Christ. And I want you, dear friend, tonight, I want to say this one last thing to you tonight. If you're still not saved, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. God doesn't want to send you to hell. He has provided salvation full and free for you. Everything's been done. Everything's been done for you. All you have to do is come as a guilty sinner. O Lamb of God, I come. Let's sing that hymn. Hymn number 12. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Hymn number 12. Just as
I am, they
tonight, that as I stand up here before you tonight, you're looking at a person that the sovereign grace of God saved many years ago. One of the worst sinners you could ever find was this person here. God saved me, and He can save you. If you'll come just as you are. And He'll make you a child of God. And you'll never regret one moment. And you'll have a all the way home Savior or one that will look after you and care for you and bless you and keep you every day of your life. Then, in the end, he'll take you to that wonderful home in heaven that he's prepared for you. That's what he can do for you if you'll just come, just as you are. Let's bow our heads and think.